This place was once known as Union Gospel Tabernacle. Some of the greatest evangelists of the 19th and 20th centuries preached here, but the building needed to host other events to pay the bills, and it was one of those events that made this the landmark it is today. We go there on this edition of the American Countryside. Planting season is just around the corner now, and I wanted to take a moment to remind you of my friends at Wilcross. It's the brand we've used on our farm for over two decades. Do you have non-GMO beans to sell or want to grow non-GMO beans for a premium this coming season? Give Wilcross a call. Whether you grow conventional or GMO beans, Wilcross offers great opportunities. You can get the details by calling Randy Baker at 660-483-0390. That's 660-483-0390. Of course, if you're a corn grower, keep in mind my friends at AgriGold, the corn specialist. When all you do is corn, you can look at it from every angle. It's corn 360 degrees. To find out more about the new giant hybrids that are standing out in yield trials, go to AgriGold.com. Wilcross soybeans and AgriGold corn are a winning combination on your fields. Contact your local Wilcross or AgriGold dealer, and always remember to follow all label directions. It was called Union Gospel Tabernacle.
It was built to accommodate several preachers. It wasn't solely for Samuel Jones, but he was the main reason it was constructed. And they held services regularly, weekly, as several denominations came in to construct the church. And that's why it was given the name Union Gospel Tabernacle. It was non-denominational.
Joshua Bronenberg says Thomas Ryman was a leader in raising the funds to build the structure, primarily for evangelist Samuel Jones, a man whose words had changed Ryman's way of life. But the Grand Auditorium had debts, and that led to other performances at the venue.
Even shortly after the tabernacle was completed, they were bringing in speakers, musicians, performers, and so forth on off nights to raise money.
When Ryman passed, the building was named in his honor, Ryman Auditorium. It continued to hold religious services and other entertainment, but it was one important lady who truly changed the course of history.
Her name was Lula C. Knapp, and she became the first official general manager of the Ryman Auditorium, officially hired as the manager in 1920, and she started bringing in acts, keeping this building alive, keep it functioning, and she was the one to bring the Grand Ole Opry, the radio show, here in 1943.
Today, the Ryman is known by many as the first home of the Grand Ole Opry, but Bronenberg says it's just the more famous early location of the performance.
We were actually the fifth home of the Grand Ole Opry. It started in the National Life and Accident Insurance Company. They had a small studio there. It became more popular, became a little overcrowded, so they moved from several venues until ultimately landing here in 1943.
Thousands of ministers, musicians, and entertainers have played on this historic stage, a stage that stood the test of time. More next time as we travel the countryside. In Nashville, Tennessee, I'm Andrew McCrae.